Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The Fan.
Good evening, I'm Isaiah Jacob. Earlier today, the Columbus Blue Jackets traded Yegor Chinnikov to the Pittsburgh Penguins. In exchange for the former first-round pick, the Jackets will receive forward Danton Heinen, a 2026 second-round pick, and a 2027 third. The Blue Jackets are on the road against the Ottawa Senators tonight. Their start time has been pushed to 7:30. Pre-game coverage begins right here on The Fan at 7. In college football news, USC coach Lincoln Riley is blaming Notre Dame for ending the series rivalry between the Fighting Irish and the Trojans. Riley claims that Notre Dame failed to follow through on its pledge to play the Trojans anytime, anywhere, and they rejected USC's proposal to continue the historic series in 2026 and 2027. In the NBA tonight, the Cavs are on at 8 p.m. taking on Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. The Cavs are currently coming off back-to-back losses on the road and will look to get a win before heading back to Cleveland for a game against the Suns on New Year's Eve. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
He's standing away.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh, and Brad Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah.
This is the Buckeye Show.
All right, it's a Buckeye Show. I'm Tito. Isaiah's back there. Matt Fontana is somewhere.
Somewhere. Parts unknown.
Parts
back
unknown.
Again.
Let me look, Matt, I made a mistake today. Now, first of all, you and I have both been on the air already today. You were on
Correct.
6 to 9 a.m.
Correct.
I was on 6 to 8 a.m. And here's the mistake I made. Is because you were supposed to do a half-hour show by yourself.
Yes.
That was supposed to happen tonight.
Yes.
Jackets travel plans changed. And so because of that, it turns out that now they're like, okay, let's get a co-host with Fontana. We'll call, I don't know how many people they called. They called 7 or 8 people. And then they said, Tito, how about you? I said, okay, I'll do it. That's fine. Now, the problem is that I said to you, I don't care who drives it, but then I kind of said I'm driving it. And I have to be on time now. I've caught hell from Fish for not being on time last week.
Did you know the text message that I got today?
About were you not on time today?
No, I was so bad today.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm a fool.
I felt so bad about it because I was like, I was not even remotely close this morning.
I should have let you do it then, because now it's all on me and you can sabotage me. I can ask you a question like it's 6:10 and you can go on for 4 minutes and then Fish will
sit there
kill
and go,
me.
Tito, I'm so glad you asked that. Let's really dive in.
Yes.
To this.
Let's do a deep dive on whatever that subject is. That's where I screwed up. I have taken all the responsibility, and it was a mistake on my part.
I got you. I'm going to get your back because obviously we are two peas in a pod with this on when we're supposed to go to break. I vowed to Fish I'd be better about it.
Yeah.
I need to be better about it, so I'm going to learn from the pros pro tonight
First of all,
me back where I need to be for tomorrow.
There is no pros pro on this side over here, but that's fine. I appreciate the confidence and the enthusiasm. We got a big show live. We're an hour long today because the Jackets, was it travel in Ottawa? Is that what the problem was?
Yeah, so it was really an interesting story to follow. So yesterday they had a nice like 5 o'clock game against the Islanders, and then they would have been on their plane on their way to Ottawa. So
right.
Last night, everybody I'm sure has been impacted. Storm is down, you know, this and that. So last night they just said go home, you know. So the Jackets go home last night. Supposed to get on a plane this morning. And then Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, I was following him, and he was saying it wasn't even necessarily all the weather. They had mechanical problems. So The last update that I saw was they weren't in the air till almost 3 o'clock this afternoon, and it's only like an hour, hour and a half flight, I think. So they got there, but they moved it back to 7:30 to give them a little bit of time. So I feel like this is like I'm going to slam the Jackets on a parlay tonight because I'm going to feel like they got everything going wrong. They're going to go up there and somehow pull out a win tonight.
Okay, so you're gonna do the opposite. You're gonna say, okay, that's fair. I like where you're thinking. That's good. Big show lined up for you today. And lots of Ohio State talk. It's a Buckeye show. We're just 2 days away from Ohio State and Miami. And you and I have talked about this. I don't know if anything's changed, anything's happened over the last couple of days, but it, as the more I look at it, the more I dive into it there, Matt, I feel like it's going to be a double-digit win for Ohio State, and I don't know if I should be that confident or not. I feel weird being that confident about a double-digit win against a very athletic Miami team.
You don't want to believe it, Tito, because it's the truth, and that's the thing. You start paralysis by analysis, where you sit there and you start poking holes, and you start saying, well, what about this Ohio State team? And your last game was probably your worst game of the year. Yes. When you lost to Indiana. And you still had a look at the end and a short field goal and all that. Okay, we've moved on. We're here now. But you just start poking holes and you start believing things. You start seeing the ghosts, things that don't actually exist. And I think that's kind of where we're at with Ohio State. To your point, we can have respect for Miami. I have respect for Miami. They've got a good line. They've got a good defensive line that can wreck things. I like Mark Fletcher a lot. And again, I really think he could, going to the Texas A&M game, I said, that's the guy. If they're going to win, that would be the guy to circle it. He's a good player. I'll give them all those flowers and respect them, but still feel like the Buckeyes are at minimum a 10-point better team than them.
Urban Meyer said, Ohio State scores 2 touchdowns, they win. I just don't see Miami scoring. This could be a low-scoring game. My number is 17, and it part of it's because, yes, Ohio State's not giving up more than 16 in any game, but I think I would feel very comfortable if you told me Ohio State's got 17 points that they will win this game.
I would agree, and I think it's a combo of just how good Ohio State's defense is versus eventually Miami got very one-dimensional in that Texas A&M game. That is not going to work here. There is no world that's going to work against Ohio State, and especially if Ohio State's offense scores like we think it can, like we believe that it can. Again, Miami's got a good defense. But, Tito, they're going to have to throw because I envision Ohio State getting up, and then things start to – you start to squeeze a little bit. You start saying, okay, we're going to have to put this on Carson Beck. And, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but there's not much that I look at with Carson Beck – and feel extremely confident. Okay, he's got a really good completion percentage, right? And he's top 20 in a couple other statistics, but he throws interceptions. The pass yards per game is not overly impressive to me. Like, there's just not much about Carson Beck that I worry about.
And as I look at it, you're giving Matt Patricia all this time to prepare for Miami. And I feel like Matt Patricia, and I loved Jim Knowles. Don't get me wrong. I thought Jim Knowles was great. Ohio State upgraded at DC this year by getting Matt Patricia, and you can tell he's enjoying having these weapons on defense.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can now scheme for Miami, and he's had all this time to look at both teams, but now he's had the time, obviously since the first playoff game between Miami and A&M, he's had all this time to look at it. And Carson Beck against Matty P, God, give me Matt Patricia in this defense all day long.
Yeah, and I like Tony, their receiver, but I also just don't see anybody that's going to be able to overmatch the defensive backs, let alone, I know the Miami offensive line their defensive line is good, but if you go D-line being their best unit, then maybe their offensive line is their second best. But then I look at Ohio State's D-line and say, you've got All-Americans, you've got potential high first-round draft picks, right. And then I don't even include Arvell Reese as a pass rusher because he's more of the off-ball linebacker. So if you look at it and go, you got to stop Kenyatta Jackson, you got to stop Cade McDonald's probably a first-round pick, you got to stop Caden Curry, and then, oh, wait, here comes Arvell Reese, wait till Sonny Styles starts blitzing, and then you know what, bring Caleb Downs, come on down in the box, and go ahead and let him get after Carson Beck. There's not going to be much, and especially if Beck has got to come off of Tony as his number one progression and read there, it's going to be a feast for Ohio State's defense all day.
I talked to a buddy of mine, and I've known him for years, 25 years, and he's a huge Buckeye fan. He's over-the-top Buckeye fan. But anyway, he went there to the Woody to see the team off.
Yeah.
And he said there was no one else there.
Really?
Now, is that are we a spoiled fan base? Because it feels like they would have maybe been there in other years. But like he said, yeah, there's no one here. It's just me. I'm seeing the Buckeyes off. I'm surprised there's not more fans here. Is Ohio State, are we a spoiled fan base?
Yes, we are. And that's that. I can't remember who it was on Barstool that was trying to make the case that it's not even fun to be an Ohio State fan because we're so good.
Right.
And we've been so dominant. And everybody's like, that's a bad take. I mean, it's the same thing, Tito. Like, if we went looked at ticket prices, and I haven't checked them today, but like the last time I checked, they were reasonable to get into a quarterfinal college football playoff game at the Cotton Bowl. And Miami's closer than Columbus, obviously, to Dallas, but I expect there to be good Miami fans there. Ohio State always travels well.
Yep.
But Tito, I guarantee you there's a lot of fans that say, you know what? I'm going to catch them in the semifinals.
Right.
I'll see them later.
I know.
And save your cash for that. I get it 100%.
That's where I'm at too on this. Like, it's, yeah, because eventually, yeah, go to Fiesta Bowl or they go down to Miami. You'll do it because they're going to win those games, you would think. And so, that's the part that's interesting to me. And I love my buddy for going out there and doing that. It's great that he does. He gets a big kick out of it. He gets his FaceTime with Ryan and things like that. But it's, it is tough to be I don't say tough to be a Buckeye fan. It is not, we are not a hungry fan base.
That's a good way to put it. All right, I got to ask you, Tito, because yeah. I know you've not looked. I have it up. I looked.
All right.
Get in price. I have two seats for you in section 419,
okay.
row 21, seats 5 and 6. You are like, you're looking down in the corner of the end zone.
Okay.
You're in one end. You're like, if you're looking at the stadium, you're in the bottom left upper deck corner.
Okay.
Including fees, how much do you think one of those tickets are for the Cotton Bowl?
I will say $127 each.
Isaiah, would you like to cast a vote? How much do you think one ticket is the cheapest get-in price for the Cotton Bowl will be on Wednesday?
I feel like it's probably like $80. I feel like it's really dropped the past couple of days.
$32.
Oh, wow.
$32. I can get you to section 438 for $40, $43, $44. Now, again, these are upper deck. You know,
right.
You want to get down. I can get you three rows from the field for $600. I can get you a lower bowl corner, three row, 10 rows up for $270. I mean, those are not, I mean, again, it's hard because it's a quarterfinal, not a semifinal. It's not the national championship. But I think that is the power of Ohio State fans. Like, they drive the prices. They always have, they always will because they travel so well. And I do feel like there's a lot of people sitting there saying, we'll catch them on the next one.
Coming up next, could a current Buckeye have been on the opposite team this week? We'll discuss that next. Buckeye Show, 97.1 The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
The 2026 Buckeye Cruise for Cancer sets sail on the Silver Sea Silver Ray. It's an intimate ship with an even better experience. It's all-inclusive of beverages, shore excursions, taxes, and gratuities. Sail to bucket list ports like the Grand Turk, St. Martin, and St. Thomas. With Buckeye greats including Ryan Day, Bobby Carpenter, A.J. Hawk, the Boren Brothers, Ezekiel Elliott, Ryan Shazier, and more. Sailing from Fort Lauderdale, February 17th through the 24th. Call 614-792-6204 to book today.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add on your choice of a sub, salad, wings, a 10-inch pizza, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donatos.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donatos. Gotta love more.
Attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekday starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
Don't miss a minute of the Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Celebrate the culmination of the 2025 season with all of Buckeye Nation and follow along on the official athletic site. From the opening postseason kickoff to the final whistle in Miami, we have you covered. It's the 2025 Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com/postseasoncentral2025 now for more information. Go Bucks!
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy skies and windy conditions will continue here through tonight with winds gusting to 35 to 40 miles per hour and temperatures dropping down into the teens. So with the wind, it will feel like it's closer to zero here by your Tuesday morning. And then on Tuesday, we are tracking partly cloudy skies here. A little bit more sunshine for the afternoon, but still cold with highs into the upper 20s. By Wednesday for New Year's Eve, we are tracking our next chance for light snow here for the evening. A dusting to 1 inch will be possible here as we head into Wednesday night. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
We're very close to Buckeye football. Very close. Uncomfortably close. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Buckeye Show. It's Tito. It's Matt Fontana. Isaiah with you as well. Before we get into the next subject, Dr. Vinny Boombas, MD, in the chat. Huge Rodney Dangerfield fan, apparently. Okay. If you're a Buckeye fan or an OSU graduate and you live anywhere near the Dallas-Fort Worth area, your ass better be at the stadium watching Ohio State on New Year's Eve. Okay. Now, I understand in spirit. I don't think your real name is Dr. Vinny Boobas, but I'm going to say Dr. Vinny. I understand what you're saying. I will tell you, though, with how much different the stadium experiences now versus the TV experience at home to where it was 30 years ago is a huge difference. And I Matt, look, if you go to the game, okay, you're going to pay $100 to park.
Correct.
You know that Cleveland guy, right? That's what they charge up there.
Oh yeah.
Okay. You're going to pay a lot to park.
Concessions.
Concession.
You're not going to sit there the whole time without a dog, a beer.
I know.
You take the kid, popcorn, cotton candy.
I get the spirit of what you're saying, Vinny, but it's not that easy. I will tell you this. If I lived 20 minutes from the stadium and I wasn't getting a media pass, I would probably stay at home and watch on the big screen TV.
I think going to games is now more about saying you were there, right? Because back,
right,
again, there was an experience where it was better than sitting at home. It was a better view. It was better than that. Yeah. Now, with 4K and the TVs,
yes,
you know, all that, it's actually a better viewing experience at home. But, Tito, you go because you then want to brag to people, I was there, and I was at that game. And there, you always have that in history, right? You always have the game that you love to brag to people, like, yep, I was there in the stands for. It was cool. This game, again, while extremely important, and you could probably tell people, yep, I was there for that game on the way to the national championship, you'd probably rather say, like, nope, I was at the semifinal game, or I was at the national championship. You know, those prices are vastly different. But, you know, to Dr. Vin's point there, I guess if you're that close and want to Uber, like, sure, but you're also, even then, and again, it's like, we're being a little facetious by saying, you're $30, you're still in the nosebleeds, you're three rows
right
from the top. Like,
and you're looking,
really
close. I don't know if you see the field or not, because they got that big damn jumbotron in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, Jeremiah Smith came out and said that if Miami was better when he was making his choices, he would have probably been going to Miami. Since 2016, Miami is 80-46. Ohio State's 115-16. But he did say this. Most likely, yes, I'd probably end up going to Miami if things were on the right track then and there, but I chose to stick with Ohio State. He's obviously a Florida kid. He had his first offer from Miami back in February of 2021, and all kinds of people came after him. But Jeremiah Smith, famous for, like, you saw the Ryan Day reaction when he got his letter of intent. But I can make sure NLI is not NIL. NLI, yes, National Letter of Intent. When he got faxed over. Does it get faxed anymore? I don't even know. Is it faxed?
Who has a fax machine? Who has a fax line?
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
so it's like
a landline.
Is it electronically?
It's got to be. You can sign everything electronically now.
So that happens then. Which could have changed things dramatically based on where these teams were at. But as we get into this week, I'm going to, in the next 2 days, now I say this now, the game is about 48 hours away, right? A little more, 50 hours away. Mm-hmm. I will watch the U 30 for 30, both part one and part two. I will watch that. I will watch Youngstown Boys. I will watch that as well. I cannot wait to see Ohio State and Miami on the field again. And they've totally flipped now. Back then, Miami was going to be the team. They were loaded. They had they were the defending champs. All these different things they had going for them, and all the NFL talent they had, and Ohio State beat them. It's the opposite now. Miami is now the hungrier one, I guess, chasing Ohio State. I still think Ohio State wins this game, but will you do anything like that nostalgic to prep yourself for this game?
So one of my earliest sports memories is the 2002 national championship game. And the thing that I'll always remember about that was, and I was like 12, you know, so like I remember it. My mom, who is not a huge sports fan, like she's a, you know, a Clevelander, born and raised here. So like she loves the Browns. She loves the, you know, Cavs, Indians, mm-hmm. Guardians, whatever. But I like, that was the first time I'd ever seen her get really excited over a sporting event.
Yeah.
And she was just so happy that Ohio State won. So if I had to pick something, it'd probably be just watching that, the Claret, you know, strip of Sean Taylor, God, the Krenzel throw, the final play and all that. Like it's just, that stuff is just burned into my memory. So that'll probably be some good luck, but you're right. There's several great documentaries. And it's funny you mentioned, you know, Tito, about where Miami was, because yeah, they were on that trajectory. Like, I don't want to say there's no reason that they shouldn't be considered one of the best because they had all the donors and the boosters. Now the problem is, as if you watch the documentary, you understand, like they got where they got by doing a lot of things that you shouldn't be doing. Now, was everybody doing things back then you weren't supposed to be doing? Sure. Was Miami doing that on a level unseen by anybody ever?
Yes.
So that's kind of why the house of cards came falling down a little bit there.
So when you look at it, and I've said this before, and I mean, look, I'm not looking at any wins vacated anywhere, but I'm just saying, like, in the 80s and 90s, in early 2000s, if you were a successful college football program, and I will put Ohio State in this right now, but if you're a successful college football program, you were doing something wrong. Like, I'm not saying that any coaches of Ohio State said, oh yes, do this, but I'm saying that things went on at every university that was worth a damn in college football. Stuff went on that would have been considered a big-time violation by the NCAA.
Somebody had a great, oh man, I think it might have been Ken Carman. He works up here in Cleveland, does a great job of one of his shows, and he said, when NIL came around, it seemed like BYU figured out that you could start paying players when in reality everybody was already always paying players. You know, like,
right.
They just kind of made it on that equal footing where, yeah, back then, it was happening everywhere, right? And I'm not pointing fingers at everybody because the NCAA sure turned a blind eye to a lot of it, and they knew what was going on. That's why I really just had such an issue with them coming down on Tressel and Pryor and all right. them for all that. It's yep. another conversation for another day, because they were turning a blind eye to a lot of it. And there were just some schools that, you know, like the same thing. And it, obviously they talk about it even in the documentary, but it's like Miami had something different than anybody else because they had that nightlife. And they had things that they could show recruits and the party scene and all that. And I felt like kind of after, you know, maybe after some of the things that had come out, and it wasn't even like right after the national championship, like Kellen Winslow was telling stories. He was there in 04, you know, back in 06. And like eventually they started looking into some of the boosters, you know, and that one guy that's a big part of the documentary and they talk about. But yeah, I mean, everybody was doing it to a point. I think Miami was just doing it a little bit more.
You got Luther Campbell from Two Life Crew in that. You also had Big Ed up in Michigan with the Fab Five. Like it went on everywhere. John Wood at UCLA. He did things also, like he and things he was aware of. I'm not saying it's right, but it's always gone on. And what's interesting now, though, is the fact that when you now are now that it's legal, I guess it's amazing how quickly some of the other schools have caught up to some of the SEC schools.
And that kind of comes back to even the conversation about Jeremiah Smith, where if you're a player of that talent, mm-hmm. because the NIL has just made it kind of on the, I would say, on the level, even though we know it's not.
Sure.
And it's all out there now. But the other change has been these high school athletes that by the time they're a junior, they're like, I'm going to be playing in the NFL one way or another, right? So then when that is then set aside about the NIL, like it's important, I'm not saying it's not, but then you start looking at the true development and who gets guys to the NFL and who prepares them the best. That, I think, is going to become the big separator. To your exact point, Tito, a couple of rich donors, a couple of billionaire donors, mm-hmm. and you're on the same level as everybody else. It's going to be the little things, the development, the facilities, the coaches that are going to start separating some of these schools again.
And that's where Ryan Day, I think, the culture he has, and that's why I think that you'll see the fact they can keep rolling on this, where you've got guys that are successful and go to the draft. It's like a longer end game. If you got guys looking for short money, the Ohio State's not your place. But if you're looking for something longer term where it can be developed and there's the resources here, all of those things, I think, ends up winning out over the short-term money. Coming up in 2 minutes, if this guy bolts, I don't have a problem at all. We'll do that next. Buckeye Show, 97.1 The Fan.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Someone out there probably thinks we spend too much time talking about the Buckeyes. Please tell someone that they're stupid. You're listening to the Buckeye Show.
It's the Buckeye Show. It's Tito. It's Matt Fontana. Isaiah over there on the other side of the glass. So loyalty is important in college football, I think, and loyalty in general is important. But I heard something. I saw this. I heard this clip, by the way, from Lincoln Keenholz. He was asked about if he will be staying at Ohio State. Isaiah, go ahead and play that. What did Lincoln Keenholz say about the potential of him transferring?
I've definitely had conversations yet. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, my goal is to go to the NFL, and I mean, in order to do that, you got to play. So I've had conversations with Coach Day and also with Coach Fest a little bit about it. So
if I'm advising Lincoln, I'm saying go.
Yes.
Okay. In the show Morning Juice I do with Carpenter, Carpenter said to me he thinks Lincoln Keenholz is an NFL caliber quarterback. He's really? The only person I've heard say that.
Okay.
But his thought process was, and what he said to me was, who has Ryan Day had that's not NFL caliber quarterback? Like somebody who he develops and does this. And Keenholz has been great. Don't get me wrong. And I love Lincoln Keenholz. Love Lincoln Keenholz. I don't want him to leave. Mm-hmm. But it's a smart business decision, right?
100%. And I think with the transfer portal, the thing that just makes my skin crawl is when you see guys just transferring because they can't play and they can't find a spot. And
right.
They just can't. And it's like, eventually you got to start reading the tea leaves here, man. And you know, you go on to four different schools and you can't carve out playing time in any of them. I don't think it's them. It's probably you. I say that to say this. I don't think that's Lincoln Keenholz. I don't, because you have Julian Sayin, and I know Keenholz was a high recruit as well, mm-hmm. but he's a five-star kid. I get it. They got him to come up here from Alabama, short time in Tuscaloosa, but up here. There's a little bias with that. That's fine. This is one totally good. And I think he could start for, you know, I don't want to put too much on it, but probably half of the Division I programs out there. And I'm sure he'll find a nice place to go and play. And I don't besmirch him for that. And I appreciate him sticking around to kind of see this through. And I think the Buckeyes could even sit there and say, hey, we want the best for it because, oh, wait, by the way, Tavian St. Clair is still here and Brady Edmonds is on his way, too. Like, it's cold and callous to make it sound that way, Tito, but it's the truth. Like, that's the old motto of the Ohio State. They don't, you know, they reload. They don't rebuild, they reload. And that's the same thing. We appreciate your time here. We wish you the best, but we got somebody else coming right on through too, and that's okay. So I would say the same thing to Lincoln. He's been great here. I was excited when he came here, and he is one that, like most of them, I would wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he gets a starting job somewhere.
And that's a good point. Like we look at, there's certain guys that when they leave, I don't want to say I root against them, but I don't root for them.
Sure.
Tate Martell. Is yes, one of those guys, okay? Dylan Raiola was another. Great, he was never here, but he came as, I'm going to recruit guys for Ohio State. I'm going to recruit guys. And then he's going somewhere else, then somewhere else, and now somewhere else again. Mm-hmm. Like, Lincoln Keenholz is not in that bucket for me. He is different from that. And biased. I've had a chance to interview him a couple of times at Cardale Jones softball, the celebrity softball game. And the dude is polished. The dude is... and by the way, he's a damn stud. But yeah, athletically he's a stud. But I'm saying, like, what I want to see happen, if you could tell me, Tito, what do you want to happen? And this would be like not one of my three wishes, because if I have three wishes from a genie, I'm not going to wish this.
But you're not going to waste one on Lincoln Keenholz?
No, I'm not going to.
How rude of you.
Exactly. If I had 87 wishes, my 86th one would be Keenholz down to South Florida.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah.
That just seems to make a lot of sense to me.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm not saying that there's anything nefarious going on, but there's got to be a conversation, right? Doesn't Heartline have to have a conversation with Keenholz at some point?
I would think he'd have to have a conversation with most of the Ohio State ones.
Yeah.
And I know that there was, you know, an article about Jeremiah Smith's little brother, and he's
right.
committed to the Buckeyes, and Heartline was kind of viewed as Heartline coming in to steal him. But like a guy that you know, it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you were to sit down Ryan Day, no cameras, no mics, and be completely honest, I'm sure he might even say, like, please take Lincoln. Good
yes.
for you. Best of luck to you, Brian, and best of luck to you, Lincoln. And we hope to see you guys in the playoff one day. That'd be awesome. Best of luck. Like, there is no hard feelings for that. Again, especially because of who's behind Keenholz and who's coming right on through. And that's the power of Ohio State. And that's where I think most fans know this and understand, but the third string, fourth string at Ohio State would be starters on a lot of Division I programs, and a lot. And there's something about people, and I appreciate this because it's so many of our dreams, you got to play for the Buckeyes. You got to have a number on a jersey and stand on the field at the Shoe to play. For some, that's it. That is the goal, and that's the dream, and to get into a couple of plays here and there is great. For other guys, and like Lincoln, I appreciate him cutting that way. Like, dude, I have bigger goals here, and I want to make it to the NFL. And he's right. He's not going to make it. Literally, the only way that he would make it is if Julian Sain got injured for a long period of time.
Right.
And I appreciate Lincoln saying, I don't want to put that out there. Like, I'm not waiting around for that. It's not a good idea to wait for anyway. Dude, I do hope. I hope he finds a nice starting job somewhere and has a great career.
But, yeah, and he's a guy that we'll root for. We will root for him because he has stuck it out here, and you know it hasn't been always easy for him. And he's had guys. It's just a timing thing. Like Lincoln Keenholz 3 years ago or 3 years from now, it might be a totally different experience for him as a starting quarterback at Ohio State potentially. But it just hasn't worked out that way. And so yes, going down to South Florida, and I'm not saying that it should be a feeder program, but if I'm an Ohio State player who is not getting the time I thought I would get, South Florida's a great option.
Sure. And that's the thing. You're pretty much guaranteed to start right away. And again, I'm not trying to take a shot at USF, but like I'd imagine your talent would win out there. And especially for Keenholz, he's a redshirt sophomore. So he's got potentially 2 years of eligibility left to play. Like now is that time to get in front of the evaluators. Because like I'm not saying that, you know, South, like, again, just to use your example of South Florida, right? It could be anybody. Right. But, like, they've had players make it to the NFL, but it's not like it's Alabama. You know, it's not like it's Ohio State. One of my favorite, and this is so random and so weird, but I got to bring it up anyway. Remember Reed Fragel?
Yeah.
He was a tight end that moved to offensive tackle, right? Mm-hmm. He had only played offensive tackle for 1 year. 1 year. He got drafted. And I go, that was like the seventh round, but you get what I'm saying. Like, that was a guy that 1 year starting at this position at Ohio State got drafted over guys that were probably 4 year starters in the MAC or in, you know, these other small schools. That's the power of the big name programs. So that's like to Lincoln's point. If he went to a smaller school, he better start for 2 years. I mean, heck, Dante Moore's a 1 year starter at Oregon and people are screaming that he might need to go back to school because he hasn't played enough.
And I don't have a problem with Hartline offering two guys he's already offered to for Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got an offer from Ohio State and one from South Florida, you're likely to take the Ohio State one, I would think. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay.
Right.
He has to do his due diligence and offer it. But by and large, if you're an Ohio State caliber receiver or player, whatever position I should say, if you're an Ohio State caliber player, you're going to go to Ohio State over South Florida, I would think.
Knowing that South Florida will always be there. That's something that I think a lot of, as the players, and we see it more and more, you know, and again, I could talk for hours, Tito, about how much I hate the transfer portal and all that, but it's like knowing that school will always be there. You go to Ohio State, you give it a crack, you play there for a year or two, you're not getting the time, you get redshirt or whatever, I'm out, call South Florida, hey, you still need me? And I can almost guarantee you that answer is going to be yes. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's your backup plan. We all did it with college applications. We'd have our dream schools, but there were backup schools too. And South Florida is the backup school.
Shout out Kent State. That was mine.
Backup school is Kent State?
Shout out to Kent State. I got in, but I got into Baldwin Wallace too, so that's where I went.
Isaiah, do you have a backup school?
I had a couple backup schools. There's a handful of them.
What was your primary?
My primary was the school I went to, which was Indianapolis.
Okay.
But there was a couple other ones, Lake Erie College, Wheeling Jesuit, a couple other ones that if I didn't pan out at UIndy, I would have fallen back on those.
I will admit this now that I'm 54 years old. The problem with me was I did not get into the backup schools. That was the issue.
Ooh. Did you get in the primary one then?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, not the primary, not the backups. Like, I needed backups to the backups, and I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. But that's probably why I didn't get into the backups in the first place, was because I didn't realize that. Coming up next, amid the crazy coaching carousel, one coach says he's not leaving. We'll do that next. This is the Buckeye Show, 97.1 The Fan.
My son Ian was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 16 months. The outlook was pretty rough. I mean, it was, you know, we had no hope until St. Jude rescued us. I mean, they saved him. To this date, you know, we are 12 years into this journey, and from day one, we've never once seen a bill. it gave us the peace of mind to know that we're there with our son and we're going to beat cancer together. Now he is doing really, really well. He's alive because of what St. Jude has done. He's here because of the doctors who came before, their blood, their sweat, their tears, the knowledge accumulated and shared, you know, with everyone else around the world. This is how we get rid of this, how we help kids beat cancer all over. It's the future.
Together, we will make cures possible for every child everywhere. Learn more at stjude.org.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities, and most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
The Buckeyes are back in the playoffs, and The Fan and 10TV are back with Chasing the Championship.
Sponsored by Logan Services.
Keep it locked on The Fan, 10TV, and 10TV Plus, your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. We here at The Fan believe there's no such thing as too much Ohio State coverage. You're locked in to The Buckeye Show.
It is The Buckeye Show, final segment of the program. I'm Tito Jeff Thedoff, Matt Fontana. Also joining us here, Isaiah, on the other side of the glass there. Matt, are you on the air tomorrow morning? Also, with
I am.
The,
I have a T-bone. Running gag because we had Bob McGilligan on this morning, mm-hmm. and the Jackets won last night, and they're in Ottawa tonight. So I said if they win again tonight, then it's clearly me, and T-Bone never gets to come back. So I'll just keep posting them, you know, T-Bone and Tyvus. To, yeah. Good luck for the Jackets. So I hope they win tonight.
So you'll do that from 6 to 9, you and Tyvus tomorrow. I am on from 6 to 8 a.m. over on the HD3 side. I'll be with Justin Zwick tomorrow. We will have Aaron Portsline on to talk about the recent Jackets trade that was made today with Chennikov being shipped over to Pittsburgh. We will have Jamal Luke on, the former Buckeye wide receiver, to talk about his new book coming out next month. So he'll be on tomorrow at around 7:25 for Jamal Luke, 7 o'clock for Aaron Portsline. Anything you want to pimp for your show, or is it too early to ask?
Oh, no. Justin's actually going to come over and jump on with us as well.
Is he really?
Yeah. I got the tie. I think he's coming on as soon as he's done with you guys. That's I think fine. He's jumping over on us, so that'll be fun. So a lot of never. Justin's Wick tomorrow, which is never a bad thing. That's awesome.
You know what the problem with Justin's Wick is? What? He's too handsome.
He's a good-looking guy.
He is. I mean, he really is. He's too handsome. It's like it's illegal how handsome he is.
That's so, a small room you guys got to work in, too, so you're just, like, staring at him the whole time.
I know. I'm looking at him. I'm like, he's dreamy. Somebody typed in the chat, I'm trying not to draw any lines. This is from Craig. Trying drawing lines to the past Miami games. I want this to be a completely separate experience, and it should be. Okay, so I hear what he's saying. Yes, it's a completely separate experience. But one of the beauties of college football, one of the things I love about it, is the fact that you were just now telling me earlier about the experience you had at like one of your first sports experiences watching that. And I know exactly where I was at. Now I'm a huge Steelers fan. I'm a Reds fan. I'm a Celtics fan. I don't have those vivid memories though of events that happened. You know, that guy, I know, look, I remember holding my, 2-year-old son when Holy Buckeye happened. Like I remember it, like I can picture in my mind where I was at sitting with him when Holy Buckeye happened with Krenzel to Michael Jenkins. And but I don't have that with a Steelers game or a Celtics game or a Reds game. I don't have that. So I'm okay with reliving the other games. It's just part of what we do, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially, like, to be honest with you, Tito, like, I'm a Browns fan. I don't have many good memories. Like, my dad taking me in my first game ever, I'll never forget that. Because, actually, you talk about the Steelers. Remember when William Green and Joey Porter got into a fight before the game even started? That was my first game ever. I was in the dog pound.
Oh, wow.
They yell, fight. And my dad and I turn around to look in the stands, thinking that two fans are beating each other up. And they go, no, it's down in the field.
Right.
They're swinging. So, like, that I'll never forget. But, like, you know, the Cavs winning a championship, I'll never forget. Ohio State has been the most successful team of my fandom, hands down. So those memories are burned more because they're good and they're positive. And I think drawing, because you brought up a great point earlier, Tito, about you see the Hurricanes and the Buckeyes back on the field against each other. How do you not go reminiscent of that? And especially in pro football, there's only 32 teams. In basketball, there's only 30. Everybody plays everybody. Ohio State and Miami, I'm shooting from the hip here. Have they played since?
They have. 0-2? They played, I think they had a home-and-home in like, it was a 10-11. Is that what it was over there, Isaiah? Okay. I think it was like 10-11, right?
It was, yep.
Okay, so like, yeah. So again, even at that point, a decade plus since they've seen each other, like that is the nostalgia. And I know, and I'm not saying that pros don't have this either, but there's also just something so legacy about the Hurricanes and the Buckeyes. Yeah. Like those logos, the helmets, the uniforms. You think of the great players. You think of all the amazing players that have played there. It's hard not to get, you know, romantic and nostalgic about it.
I did the same thing, by the way, this year before Notre Dame, Miami. I watched the Catholics versus Convicts 30 for 30. I love it.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what it's part of the fabric of this. So Ohio State maybe don't play that often. And it's just, but they also don't play often with stakes like this. And that's what it is. There's a lot on the line, obviously, here. Miami fans are still very upset about the Chris Gamble, the late call on the pass interference thing. They're still very bothered by that. And that's fine. They can be. But there's a lot going on right now as far as the intensity between Ohio State and Miami.
And that's the thing. Miami, we talked earlier, they've not really had much since,
right?
So that's even more of a reason to just kind of stew in anger on it. Ohio State's got two national championships to their picture after that and also went to two others as well. So they've had the success to kind of to focus more on that recently, I guess.
Marcus Freeman came out with a simple message saying that let's run it back 2026 with Notre Dame. I know that he was in there was a lot of interest in NFL teams. The Giants specifically really wanted to talk to Marcus Freeman. I don't know if they ever talked or not. I'm not sure on that. But it, I wonder about it. Like, there's a certain if you leave Notre Dame for the NFL or leave any high profile school for the NFL, you're not going to it's not like you're going to the Chiefs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not going there. Typically, if you're going somewhere, it's to a team that is in desperate need of a reset. And it's really hard in the NFL to, I know they have the everything in place with the draft and with the parity and all this stuff, and that's what they want. It's still, though, it's tough to go from where the Giants are at to the elite. It's not easy to do that. And like if a coach for Ohio State went to the NFL, if they want to come back to college like Saban did, you're not going to get the Ohio State job again. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get that. It's got to be a tough call to do it. But like when Saban came back to college after LSU national championship, goes to the Dolphins, he comes back to an Alabama team that was not in a good spot at all. He replaced like Mike Shula. That's who he was replacing. They weren't in a good place. So I hope that Freeman thinks long and hard about this before taking an NFL job.
And it's hard to sit here, Tito, and say, like, the college and the pros, are they further apart than they've ever been? Are they closer because NIL? Like, there was so much because I continue to bring this up about college coaches having success in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That list is so short. Pete Carroll was not a college coach. He was a pro coach that happened to go to college that came back to the pros, right? Like, Matt Rhule has not been good. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, I guess he's more of like the pro coach, but those blurred lines, Lane Kiffin, not good. Like, there's just all these examples that I just keep pointing to where if I'm an NFL team, this is what shocks me the most. Stop going to college. Stop. Like, yeah. If I was even the Giants and the Mara family, and I get they're desperate, but I'm like, no. We need somebody that's run an NFL team before. And I know that Notre Dame, because one of the articles I read, they're as close to a pro team as you can get. Just what Marcus Freeman does and all the other stuff is with it. But I would just say stay away from college. And what does that say about the Giants that even Marcus Freeman's like, yeah, no thanks. No, we're good. We're good.
It's a huge indictment on the Giants for that. But yes, I'm with you. But I think that they are closer as far as the way they have to do things, but they're further away from the fact that Notre Dame has a decided advantage over almost every college football school. Almost everyone Notre Dame's got an advantage over. In the NFL, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. So even though they're very close as far as like some of the duties go, it's not the same thing because Notre Dame, Ohio State, Texas Tech now, Oklahoma, Georgia, you've got a huge advantage. You're not, it's the parity is not there in college football. There is some parity, yes, but it's not the same thing as the NFL.
And especially now in the NFL, it's a lot of hot shot coordinator guys that get the job. What do? They call plays, either on offense or defense. Like, if you're hiring Marcus Freeman, and I know he's a defensive guy, you know, as a linebacker, and he played in the league for a little bit, like, I understand all of that. But you'd be hiring him basically to do what? Like, be the culture guy or be the motivator guy. And, like, I just think you then limit your, I don't say field of view, but basically, like, your margins for error become even that much smaller because if your team isn't good and your players start to turn on you and then you also don't call plays, like, then there really isn't much for them to look at and say that you're doing. So, like, that sounds negative, and it almost sounds like I believe Marcus Freeman wouldn't be a good NFL coach, and I have no idea. But the thing is, if he doesn't have that itch, and it doesn't sound like he does right now, and you don't have a good option with either the Titans or the Giants, then of course, I go on back, and then of course what happened right after that?
Yeah.
He gets another deal and a higher pay from Notre Dame. And it's a tale as old as time.
Matt Patricia, in almost every game Ohio State played this year, I would say every game Ohio State played this year, his defense was better than the other team's offense. Okay? Every game this year. That's a big advantage you don't get in the NFL. every game, Matt Patricia has more talent than the team he's going against. Same thing a lot of times the offense, too. With Hartline, most games, if not every game this year, he had an advantage. You don't get that in the NFL. It's not that way in the NFL. So why not take a little bit less money and a lot more job security and take advantage of the advantage that you have?
And especially, we talked about fallback schools or fallback plans. Or the NFL will always be there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he keeps even just having good 10, 11 win playoff bound Notre Dame teams.
Yeah.
They called this year. They're going to call next year, and they'll call the year after that.
They will.
They'll call the year after that.
Yep. Absolutely. This was fun, Matt. I know it was unexpected that we did this, but always appreciate working with you. And tomorrow you're on 6 to 9 with Tyvus, and you're also going to steal my co-host, I guess, for the last hour or whatever you're going to do there with the everly handsome Justin Zwick. Thank you, Isaiah, for this. Make sure you stick around, folks. It's Jackets time next. It was Tina, it was Matt, it was Isaiah. This is Buckeye Show.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.